Fox Sports 1340 AM presents to you.
WMER, Wrestling Marks of Excellence Radio, starring The Firm, J-Lo, Nephew, Corey, and Dr. D, bringing you the latest up-to-date information on professional wrestling and sports entertainment. Now, live from the Fox Sports 1340 studios in Hopewell, Virginia.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome. Welcome to another edition of the Wrestling Marks of Excellence here on Fox Sports Radio 1340 AM and 96.9 FM. As always, I'm your host, Glenn Thomas. With me is the Wizard himself, Nephew Corey. What's going on, Wizard? What's going on?
What is up? I'm here. What's going on?
Nothing much, man. Lots going on in the world of professional wrestling. We got some AEW talk. We got some WWE talk. We got Elimination Chamber coming up this weekend from Houston, Texas, the Toyota Center. We got a former Intercontinental Champion showing off on SmackDown. Man, we got a lot to talk about here in the world of professional wrestling. But let's get started with this past Monday Night Raw. If you watched this past Monday Night Raw, you saw that the man got upstaged by the man, Vince McMahon, and got removed from the main event currently at WrestleMania and been replaced with Charlotte Flair. Went on the internet. I talked about this a little bit on the Raw report from this past Monday night. Check it out on YouTube. If you go ahead and check it out. We got Vince McMahon comes out and says, you know what, Becky, I don't accept your apology. Stephanie may accept it. Hunter may accept it. But guess what? I'm going to show you that I'm the man. And he removes her from the main event at WrestleMania and put in Charlotte Flair. What is your thoughts on this? And, you know, the internet went crazy. Oh, they suck. I hate the WWE. I've seen people talk about they're canceling the WWE Network subscription. And I'm sitting here like, fellas, we only be 60 days away from WrestleMania.
Oh, my gosh. People are doing that again. They still doing that?
Like, they still doing it. Yes.
Like, come on.
They're still doing it. And we're 60 days from dress. Nobody lets storylines play out. But your thoughts on this situation?
I mean, just let it play out. I mean, honestly, you just said it. Let the storyline play out. I mean, that whole it's funny you say play out. What's played out is this whole I'm canceling my subscription or really, like, oh my gosh, stop it! Like, it's so annoying.
You know what's funny about those guys or those people that WWE is that it's like Ray Charles saw this coming last year, or saw this SummerSlam. You saw this coming. If not Survivor Series, you saw this coming. Didn't go into the Royal Rumble, you saw this coming. Because the same people talking about I don't like it or I'm canceling my subscription were the same people who had the theory that either Charlotte and Becky Lynch would both get eliminated at the same time and end up with a triple threat match. How long has people been thinking or been talking about we may end up with a triple threat match ever since Becky Lynch got hurt?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, you're right.
That's what I don't get. Why is it a surprise to many folk? It shouldn't be a surprise. It should be like, guess what? Oh, it is what it is. If we get a triple threat match, fine. If we don't get a triple threat match, that's also fine. But guess what? It's wrestling. And so it's storyline. I understand the storyline. And that's what people got to look at. It is what it is. It is wrestling storyline. Accept it for what it is.
Yeah, right. You're absolutely correct.
You know, it's wrestling. So with Becky Lynch being, quote unquote, eliminated from a match, you have Charlotte Flair. At this time, we're going to speak as if you got Charlotte Flair. That will still be one heck of a match. Charlotte Flair versus Ronda Rousey at WrestleMania, if it's just a one-on-one match. Becky Lynch and Charlotte and Ronda Rousey won a heck of a match. If it's just Becky Lynch and Ronda Rousey. If you put all three of them together, either way, the women are going to shut down the show at WrestleMania.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely correct.
You know, there's no thought there. A lot of people believe that WWE dropped the ball and making Becky look weak. I don't think it makes her look weak. I think it makes her a little bit stronger. I think it's a reverse storyline from where it was. The Royal Rumble does mean something if you win it. And the same people are talking about, the Royal Rumble. Where were these guys at when Daniel Bryan didn't win the Royal Rumble? Was the same people who was trying to get Daniel Bryan in the Royal Rumble. I mean, in the WrestleMania main event, sorry. In the main event. He didn't win the Royal Rumble, but you try to get him in the WrestleMania main event, which caused us to have Daniel Bryan versus Triple H. And then if Daniel Bryan won, he was thrown into the match with Dave Bautista and Randy Orton, WrestleMania 30.
Was that planned, or did they listen to the audience?
See, that's what I was about to say. To be honest, as much as, you know, I hate to be that guy. Well, no, I don't. I like being that guy. Here's the thing. As much as the fans had a part in that, as much as the fans had a part in Daniel Bryan being in the main event, is as much of it as it was planned also. And, you know, I know a lot of fans will want to believe, oh, we completely, you know, overthrew that. We put Daniel Bryan in the main event. No, that was pretty much in the plans. As far as we know, we don't know, but we can always speculate. But the route it looks like they were headed, to be honest, was Daniel Bryan being in the main event anyway and CM Punk fighting Triple H. That's where it looked like it was going, regardless. I really think Daniel Bryan was going to be in the main event anyway. But I think things got escalated, you know, with Punk leaving and the way Daniel Bryan was being booked pre-Rumble. With Daniel Bryan that year in the Rumble losing to Bray Wyatt, I feel like that was him losing to kind of keep him out of the radar, and then boom, all of a sudden he's in the title picture. Sort of like how they do the Money in the Bank winner now, but the Money in the Bank winner every year is kind of on a big losing streak, then all of a sudden they cash in and is champion. I think it was the same thing with Daniel Bryan. I think Daniel Bryan was going to be in the plans for the main event for WrestleMania that year all along. It's just other events transpired around it and fans uproar. Yeah, it had an effect, sure. But I don't think it was the where Daniel Bryan's fans completely overthrew it and Daniel Bryan all of a sudden was put in there. So
I agree with you to a extent. I think he was gonna have his WrestleMania moment anyway, be a champion. I think it was much more so that Punk threw a monkey wrench and they had to go ahead and adjust on the fly how they would get Daniel Bryan and still have Triple H involved.
You're exactly right. You're exactly right, Glenn. The road was Daniel Bryan getting there. Just how he got there was completely kind of changed around.
Yeah. You know, and that's what happened. And like I said, we mentioned in our chat, you know, this won't be the first triple threat match at WrestleMania for a title. When you look at it with women. And so, you know, the same guys who was complaining about Becky Lynch were cheering for Daniel Bryan in that sense. So we know if you've been watching wrestling long enough, she somehow is going to get into this picture. Whichever way it goes.
I lit up our group text last night, but I don't want to be hasty over the recording. So I kind of want to give it like maybe a week and see where this is going before I lay into it. But okay. I will say that I think that if you're looking to spice up the historical aspect of it, I think there's better ways to do it than what we potentially are looking at right now, to be honest with you.
Right. And when we look at it from a financial standpoint, it's about money. Now, because you got three, you looking on Twitter just after Monday Night Raw, this is nothing. Monday Night Raw, you had sides. You had people cheer, oh, Becky, Becky, Becky. You had people saying, you know what, I'd rather see Charlotte Flair than Becky. I'd rather see Ronda Rousey. Now, when you throw all three women in the mix, if they get there, you have that arena and those people are going to be split three ways.
But we, like we said, I think it's a last-minute addition because they didn't like how the crowd was turning on Ronda. And they're doing this to protect them. This is not a measure to make it better. This is a protective measure, and I think that's what's pretty transparent with everything.
But this is my thing with that. Why is I think this is a little bit better. I don't think Ronda and Becky alone could carry 60 some days to WrestleMania.
Well, and because of who? who's getting this?
Because a little bit of both. Because a little, be honest, a little bit of both.
I was going to say, it's a little bit of both. Yeah, I agree
Becky's
with that.
Getting a little,
go ahead,
Becky's getting a little annoying because she's too much like Conor McGregor that it doesn't come right.
But that's because of the situations and the scenarios that she's put in. If you have someone like that, you don't have to do a lot. I actually think they've been doing a little too much, and that's why it's turning out to be annoying because some of those instances, like we talked like last week, the whole situation with Steph, unnecessary. Whole thing with Hunter, unnecessary. If you wanted to get it to where it was, there are different ways that you could have took without making your potential lead person look like an idiot.
Right. I agree with you on that. They made it look bad with the Hunter thing, and then to come around a week later, and she, I don't mind the apology. The apology is not what I don't mind. I don't mind that, but to make her to look weak again with Vince getting involved, I didn't think Vince should have been involved with that situation. You know, but yeah, I knew like, you had a way to get you had to get Charlotte involved. So
yeah, no, it's like we were saying the other time. I don't know if it was on the show or on a call or the text. Like they don't know, they can't find a happy medium. It's either you look like, you know, you got the jetpack and we were making you look cool, or we're making you look like an idiot. There's no middle ground, and I think that's what's like actually happening. And from that standpoint, if they throw someone in, because it's a long way. What is it, 55 days? That's a long time for these two people. So I think injecting a third person in the main event, I think it actually helps. Because even if you inject her now and then for some reason, like they fall out, you know, Charlotte falls out, then I think you can still go with those two for the last couple of weeks. So that's why I said I'll wait and see what happens next week before I decide to dig in.
Got you on that. Some other major news from WWE, and we're going to stay on this a while. You watched WWE SmackDown from this past Tuesday night. You saw the resurgence of Kofi Kingston. That was the biggest thing on SmackDown. And I say the resurgence because he went away from the New Day gimmick. And Kofi did what Kofi does, and that's wrestle. Kofi Kingston was involved in the gauntlet match, as you know, Mustafa Ali, due to injury, has been replaced in the Elimination Chamber. And Kofi Kingston took his place. Kofi Kingston, once again, another high flyer person who can really go. And we saw Kofi Kingston on this past Tuesday night get pinned Daniel Bryan. We saw him pin Jeff Hardy. We saw him pin Samoa Joe. And not only that, he stayed in the ring in his gauntlet match for almost over an hour. Kofi Kingston, in my opinion, has raised his stock. What are your thoughts on Kofi and his SmackDown revitalization?
Well, to be honest, I mean, the guy's always been money, period. I'm not going to sit here and always say I've been the number one Kofi advocate, fan, anything like that, no. But I definitely know he's been reliable for them, like very much so his entire career there. He has what his performance on yesterday and the subsequent interview that followed with the New Day, it was a WWE.com exclusive. It's about a 7-minute interview with them. It's really, really, really good for anybody out there that hasn't listened to it. If you listen to that interview and watch his performance, it really changed my mind, especially with him being inserted on who could win. He could legitimately win, and it's not just me all of a sudden just being a fan and saying, oh, but then it's, you know, something big. No, I'm really looking at it like, you know what? About 7 weeks until Mania, he, you know, there's no clear-cut road for the WWE Championship going to Mania. He could really win this. And you know what? I would not be surprised at all if he wins. That hour performance really put him on the map to say he's either going to win Sunday or he's in plans for something. He really changed the game this week with that. He really did. Because
yeah, introduced some new fans. There were some new fans that never saw Kofi Kingston.
Yeah, you know what? And I'm glad you said it that way, because it introduced fans to Kofi Kingston, the singles wrestler. Because it's to where fans that, you know, for the recent fans, they've seen him in New Day this whole time. They don't realize, you know, he was a singles member before then. And Kofi, with the singles run that he could possibly have coming out of this, could be really huge. And it's to where you don't have to break up New Day. He could do it inside New Day. I personally think he needs to be in New Day for it to have credibility with the new fans. Fans that have seen his work earlier, they know he could do it by himself if need be. But I think the extra validation of it being in the New Day, which is where the current stardom for him is right now, I just think that would help. And I firmly believe, no pun intended, I believe that he can be WWE champion as of this Sunday.
He elevated his game. He showed people what he actually can do. Take me back to the time when him and Randy Orton was play feuding when he came in. People fail to realize, I mean, he's been part of, when I go back to my statement I made earlier, he's been part of New Day since 2014. So you figure 4 years, that's a lifetime in professional wrestling.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
Some people, you know, from the last time he has not been part of New Day. So it's been a lifetime. So when you see Kofi Kingston do that, they're like, oh man, he did what most people, what they asked you to do. He went out and stole the show. He was given an opportunity and he went out there and he wrestled his butt off and he stole the show. And I'm not talking about just by pinning Daniel Bryan. I'm just talking about by in general, the moves, the expressions on his face, the antics, the whole nine yards. He went out there and he stole the show and he won a lot of fans. And as you mentioned, he could actually be champion. If you look at the Elimination Chamber, don't sell Kofi Kingston short, but the Elimination Chamber with everyone in there is a viable factor because Daniel Bryan really doesn't have a quote-unquote number one contender that come out of this. So you have to have somebody to feud with him. He already feuded with AJ Styles. Him and Samoa Joe could get something on. You got Kofi Kingston that's there, Randy Orton, you know, and Daniel Bryan. Is that really a WrestleMania-worthy match? You know, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. So you got to look at somebody new, and Kofi Kingston could be that guy
for Daniel Bryan. You nailed it. And not to mention that, especially with Kofi being new, the New Day act as a whole, they want to continue to feature that. I know they kind of tapered off this past year, where they were okay, compared to where they were 2 years ago, going into WrestleMania 33, they were pretty much the hottest act. Like, the whole Bootios run from 32 to WrestleMania 33 with them being the host, they were a top act, like regardless of man, woman, Raw, SmackDown, they were a top act. So going into last year, they still were prominently featured, and you know they call a spade a spade. They're a highly featured African American trio, into where just by the demographic alone, it already is great to have them on the card. But not to mention, hey, they're actually good. It's not like they're just the token, you know, guys to feature on WrestleMania. They're good regardless of race. You know what I mean? They're good. I mean, it's probably an addition that they're black and it's good, but it's good, period, and it's not going to make a difference.
And Kofi is legitimate. I mean, you figure that the world title is like one of the only titles he has not held in the company.
Yep.
He's been Intercontinental Champion. He's been U.S. Champion. We already know about the story, tag team championships he's had with, you name it, he's been tag team champion with him, from Evan Bourne to R-Truth to, I believe, CM Punk. So, you know, he's gotten all those. The one that he hasn't gotten is a Universal or WWE Championship, and it could happen. You know, and it could happen, and a lot of wrestling fans, especially those African-American fans, I'll say it, would be happy if an African-American won the championship. It's Black History Month. He put on a show. Say what you want. Some believe that's the reason Bobby Lashley got the Intercontinental Championship. You know, but it could happen in the month of February. You never know. But I'm do look for Kofi Kingston to do some great things at the Elimination Chamber, and I think it was good for him in his brand and his stock to move up. He's also a Boston guy, so if you want to throw the New England Patriots situation in there, you can throw that in there, tie it in whatever you want to tie it in. You know, Brady was a replacement, so was Kofi Kingston. I don't know. So
yeah.
Nah. You know, but it was good for him, it was good for WWE, it was good for AJ Styles. It was good how SmackDown right now, when you watch SmackDown, it looks like they just have their stuff a little bit more together and tighter than Monday Night Raw. Maybe because it's a 2-hour program compared to 3, but nonetheless, SmackDown looks like they just are the better brand right now.
Yeah.
Better brand. You know, we got some big news coming out of AEW from this past week. AEW announced that we finally heard, and you know, we a little bit show after the show was gone, that Kenny Omega has made his way to AEW finally. I don't think anybody is surprised at this. Was it, are you surprised? Or do you think he was
not surprised, but I mean, as much as, you know, people are saying, oh, you know, it's not a surprise, I'm not surprised, but I do think there was a legitimate shot he could have ended up in WWE. I won't say there wasn't. You know, there are people, I'll put it that way, there's people out there that think, oh, he was never going to WWE like this. No, I think there was a legitimate shot. I think he heard all the options and just made a conscious decision.
I agree with you. Yeah,
they threw the Brinks truck at him.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. But, you know, he heard all the options. He did.
He did. And I think, you know, to me, this, you know, it would have been, okay, do I go to WWE or do I hang out with my boys and make money? You know, and be happy and be who I want to be. I think it was much more, you know, Jim Ross says all the time, it's about creative and cash. I think he was like, you know what, I can have my creativity here and I can still get some cash if I do it with AEW. Now, I don't know how much cash, because that's not, we're not privy to that information, but plus he's an executive vice president. You know, which they got a lot of executive vice presidents over there. I think that might be an issue too, but that's a whole different animal. Too many chiefs, you know what I'm saying? In that pot. You know, and I know they're friends, but there's a lot of chiefs, you know. But I would love to see him in WWE, which he could have been WWE. Didn't, if it didn't work out, make the AEW jump, you know. But
No. No, he got to go to AEW now. It wasn't because he could have, say he goes to WWE, creative doesn't work for him. He looks worse for wear going there later than he does now. Like right now, he has
I agree with that.
And his push intact. You don't want to go to a startup company, you know, looking washed. And since we're on a topic, I'm convinced that they have their television deal done. They're just not announcing it. And you know, who sent that Twitter clip? Did Charlotte post a video clip on Twitter where Hunter was saying that, oh, I know what you guys are gonna do. You're gonna tweet.
Yeah.
You're gonna be angry. You're gonna say we're not gonna watch. And that could fly when he first said it, which was like, what, 4 or 5 years ago? That ain't gonna fly no more. I'm telling you, look, this AEW thing, I'm going to put it to you like this. I think they might have a deal with Turner TBS. I really, really do. They've been pushing this sports angle a lot. They've been pushing this analytics thing a lot. They've been pushing win losses a lot. And Turner, they have this relationship with the Bleacher Report. They actually own it. You know, and those things are – yeah, they have these kind of like interstitial – development programs for fan engagement, even from the fantasy aspect to the gamification aspect. And I really believe that's where they're going to take this. So you're looking at a generation of younger wrestling fans that actually do have an alternative, and not saying that they're going to come out the door and compete from day one. I think they're going to do their own thing. But I really, really think that in this time where we are, they're going to have to tighten up, and it won't be those situations where you can mock the fans in terms of like, oh, how are you going to react? They're going to react by turning the channel. That's what they're going to do. You know, I just find it to be really, really interesting, this Tony Khan guy. And like I said, I think they have a deal with Turner TBS, and we'll see when they reveal it, because if they do, that is a game changer.
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely.
After a major network like that, I think with them I think it's a point now, and I know you got to wait for Double or Nothing, and you know, each week or each month they're bringing out new announcements, new things. You know, I think a lot of the wrestling fans are ready for this show to happen. You know, tired of having new announcement. And as you mentioned, you have not heard a TV deal. Right now, if you look at AEW, what you have is another pay-per-view that's come in place, but nothing else. You know, you don't have a program yet. You don't have where these wrestlers are going to wrestle at. You got a lot of stars or indie stars or former wrestling stars, but you don't have a home base. And I think that's what a lot of fans are waiting for, to see where AEW actually lands, what a TV product has, as you mentioned, what station they're going to be on. Are they going to have a weekly programming, 1 hour, 2 hour, see the foundation of AEW. And I think then they will have more of a following, more of a culture. They have a culture now, but more of an excitement once that everything is solidified.
Look, and you just said it. They have a culture, right? They have a culture before they've even started. You know what I mean? They got some drip with them. They got some sauce with them. You know, they even have former WWE employees, like, that work the cameras, that works the lighting machine, that works the stage, that works the rigging. Like, they're coming in with a structure built of people that know how to produce this type of live entertainment. So it's not a situation where it's an Impact or ROH, and, you know, it's a Sinclair situation where we always complain about the lighting or how it looks. No, they're coming to the table with a polished product. They sold out the MGM Grand in like 5-10 minutes, even though most of those are probably bots, whatever. But still, it's sold out. There's going to be a strong resale market for it. You know, their live gate numbers, the live gate to sell out the MGM Grand, the live gate numbers are going to be pretty good. I think the average ticket price is maybe like 180, 200, which is affordable. You know, they're going to clean up on the merch. And then, now check this. If the casino does great business off of AEW there, they're going to come back to Vegas. And then Vegas might be their standpoint where they launch. WWE will have Connecticut. You know, I think AEW should actually set up offices in Vegas, because there's no state tax, one. Two, you know, the things that they're doing in the Las Vegas area with the Raiders coming in, there's like this buzz, this renegade culture, this renegade buzz going, and it factors right into everything that they're building right now.
Yeah, their home base could end up being Jacksonville too. It's just a thought. Also no state tax in Florida.
Well, yeah, they would go too.
Yeah, but it was interesting. What I was gonna say to you, Champ Creep, is that everything you said was right, and pretty much what I was thinking about with them, and I don't want to sound like the negative guy. So this isn't a negative assessment of what's going on, but it just sort of a type moment. I want to see if they do have all of the infrastructure to be successful. I really hope they hit on Double or Nothing, which they will, because they're going to have to draw in the market to tour. And what I mean by that is their house shows. If they go weekly show, they're going to have to go. I mean, maybe the weekly show can be the same place every week, almost like Impact, you know, just to kind of get it off the ground. But even in Impact's best days, you know, they could tour and do house shows to a certain extent. We got to see how the AEW market translates to where it's going to the average city, because, yeah, they do have the culture, the hardcore fan, to where, okay, boom, these people are going to Vegas. They went to Chicago last year. They're going to go, as they should, and absolutely they will. But when you get to, you know, any town, USA, are they going to, you know, have a profitable house show?
But wait, do you really have to tour like that, though? I mean, you figure what they have. They have a double or nothing. You do another All In, and then maybe one or two more shows a year. I don't know if you have to travel like and do three shows a year.
If that's the case, then I mean, the only thing I'm thinking of is that revenue stream that Khan's putting out. He's putting that out for how much of a body of work? I guess that's what I'm thinking about. And it's not, right. you know, a not a negative, but it's like, okay.
No, it's a plausible question.
Would you say?
What?
No, that's a plausible question.
Yeah, because I'm just, yeah, that's where I'm looking at it as, is that is he paying X amount of dollars for 8 dates, per se, you know, a year? You know, that's what I'm looking at, is that if
well,
every, or 12 dates or 14 or something like that.
Well, no.
Formals on every show, you know. Go ahead.
Well, here's what I was saying about Vegas. When you mm-hmm. do a show at a casino, you don't have to pay those venue fees. Like, they give you a site fee. They actually pay you to bring your show there.
Yeah.
So
well,
that's
yeah, they do.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. Like, you cut the expenses down if you do a show. Let's say you do a show there twice a year, maybe. And then you try to look and see if you can replicate that model in other places. Like you said, Jacksonville will be their home. That kind of slipped my noggin, whatever. But mm-hmm. you say Jacksonville's a home base. Chicago, that's hot. You keep that, and then do maybe two shows. You can do one at Mandalay Bay. You can do one at MGM. You can alternate. I wouldn't say T-Mobile
yeah.
just yet.
Not yet. No, mm-hmm. I agree. They're gonna yeah. have to the litmus for them. They're and like I said, I want everybody listening. I'm not being a negative person about this. I'm being realist. I want to really see what they're doing in certain aspects to maintain the momentum that they have. Because I'm looking at it and I'm like, okay, well, what is, they need to get in order for them to really stay viable. They're going to have to hit an East Coast market. They're going to have to get a market somewhere because WWE's got that on lock. I don't care what anybody says. Boston, Philly, D.C., New York, that's all WWE. That's the entire East Coast. They may be able to get into the Carolinas. They may be able to get into Atlanta. That's probably their best bet, especially being in Florida. If they're in Florida, that's going to be their best bet, is to get into all of those markets. Because
yeah, Atlanta, I think Atlanta will be the best bet for them. I think Atlanta will be the best bet for them, and not to cut you off on that. But
no,
what I like to see is there, too. I like them to see do an event other than a national holiday or a major weekend where people are off event, where people can fly in.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Because they've done one over Labor Day weekend. This one is over Memorial Day weekend. We'll get it to the point now. You might be right. Next one is 4th of July, and then you got Memorial Day weekend again. I mean, you got Labor Day weekend again. Can you sustain your – now, they can sustain their pay-per-views around holidays, which would be smart because they know more people could get to it if that's their model. You know what I'm saying? But
right.
you're not coming out of the gate doing 12 pay-per-views a year. You're not going to get this type of crowd every time.
You're going to run out of cities to be in, too, that you're going
right,
to have people
cities.
Come out. You know,
right. So you're gonna have to be able to do it sparingly, and sometimes, and with this, and look like they're smart businessmen, and they got the hits. You're gonna have to crawl before you can walk. I think the fan base, like I said, this thing is Double or Nothing's already sold out. Okay, for whatever it is, it's already sold out. They crashed the internet when they announced it. They sent out the little code. It's sold out. Okay, so they have to be with that. And but also the Champ Creed point, they're reaching out to everybody. And so they, by the people that they brought in at the last press conference, they're reaching out to everybody. And Brandi Rhodes was getting some flack about they brought in the first transgender wrestler. But this is her statement from Twitter. She says, and I quote, "As we look ahead to Las Vegas, let's take this opportunity to make it clear that AEW is totally exclusive. We will fully support and celebrate all of our athletes and all of our fans, regardless of their sexuality, orientation, race, gender, religion, or ethnic, period. A safe exclusion, respectfully and very cool environment will be the center to everything we do at AEW. Be who you are, come as you are, because we're all going to come together as a community to change the world," which means a wrestling community. So they're reaching out to everybody to bring them in, which would, this case, will open up a lot more cities that they can come to and a different fan base.
As well as
advertisers that will support them.
You
yeah,
know, it's funny you say all
key.
That. Yeah, no, I agree.
Gonna...
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Wiz. Yeah, you go
no,
ahead.
No, no, no. Oh, no, I was just saying, it's funny you say all that, but the one thing you mentioned, because with such a strong financial backing, I would like to see who are going to be the investors as far as advertising on there, because how much advertising can you have without any weekly, out an announcement of a weekly show yet? But like Champ Cree was saying, I'm sure that's all in the pipeline and ready to come out very soon. Go ahead, Champ.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. The advertisers will be predicated upon the television deal and their television programming, because mm-hmm. there's a huge desire for live in-the-moment content. Like, that's why WWE has such a big deal with Fox. That's why the NFL rights are so high. That's why the NBA rights are, like, live sport content. It's that can't-miss content that advertisers want to, you know, trap and engage the viewers. So once they get that TV, they announce the TV deal and they announce that schedule, then that's when they'll be the advertisers will hop in. And I'm about to hop off, fellas. I'll catch you in the group chat.
All right. I know you rolling. I know you flying, man. You rolling. So we holler at you, champ. In and out.
All right.
Got you. But you know, we also with this is one of the things that's key. I wouldn't be surprised if they make a major announcement WrestleMania weekend.
Oh yeah, then you got to capitalize on that. You got to. You know, we always talked about it for years. How it was crazy that TNA was never around for WrestleMania weekend, and every other promotion is, and taking advantage of the WWE bringing the entire world together for wrestling, and TNA was never found up until, you know, recent years. But I think that would absolutely be smart if they, you know, they don't have to necessarily be in New York. In fact, that'd be almost like a kamikaze type mission. They end up in New York, you know, to make an announcement. They could do it, but, you know, that'd be huge. But if they made an announcement, period, regardless of location, I think that would really help solidify a lot of things, especially if they, you know, come out with a TV deal or something that weekend. You're absolutely right. An announcement like that on that weekend or in that platform, that would be really big.
Really big. And, you know, last point on AEW before we go into this Elimination Chamber pay-per-view, our predictions. You know, I was talking to Brian H. Waters late earlier, and we had a conversation. I feel sorry for those people who bought tickets to the Ring of Honor and New Japan show expecting to see some of these guys, and they're not there.
Yeah. I mean, hey, credit to Ring of Honor and New Japan, though, for getting out the announcement and ticket sales. And just by coincidence, that at least they got that information out, you know, while they were still hot and conjoined and all of that. Because now, majority of those guys, those big names, are probably not going to be there. You're still going to have huge names at that show. And that show's still going to be great. It's still going to be worth going to. But some people are going to be mildly disappointed that those guys aren't there. So, yeah, I agree with you, man.
Gotcha. Gotcha. But let's talk about this Elimination Chamber pay-per-view coming from Houston, Texas on this Sunday night. It is part of the Road to WrestleMania, and we got a lot to talk about on this card, the Elimination Chamber. We got two Elimination Chamber matches. You have a Cruiserweight title match. You have the Raw Women's Championship match. We got a handicap match, a disqualification match. So it is a lot that's on there. But let's start off with this one. Baron Corbin taking on Braun Strowman, no DQ match. Who do you have winning this?
They're going to give it to Braun. I mean, they've got to kill that off somehow. So give it to Braun Strowman.
Yeah, I think this, no, it is definitely a Braun Strowman match. No DQ match definitely goes to Braun Strowman. So I don't see them letting Braun lose to Baron Corbin, even if every bloody dotty and everybody jump into this. I think Braun Strowman gets the win here over Baron Corbin, hands down. Then we go on to the Cruiserweight match. We have Buddy Murphy taking on Akira Tozawa. Some way and somehow, I always thought this was the spot for Hideo Itami, but he decided to leave the company, and Akira Tozawa gets the spot here. Hideo wanted to go back to, you know, wanted to go back home. Buddy Murphy taking on Akira Tozawa. Who do you have here?
It's going to be Buddy Murphy. I already have a second thought about it. Until I see a legitimate build-up for something, Buddy's not losing that. He's going to continue to be the king of the cruiserweights, no pun intended. But, yeah, so.
Definitely the king of the cruiserweight. Buddy Murphy gets the win here. I wouldn't be surprised if this guy is on the main roster by the end of WrestleMania somehow. He's good. He is definitely good. We move on. Bobby Lashley, Leo Rush taking on Finn Balor. Handicap match, Intercontinental Championship.
Bobby Lashley is going to win this one. I don't think he loses it to Finn in this manner and before WrestleMania. I think Bobby's character will lose it at a main. It's one or two things. Either Bobby's character is going to lose it at somewhere like a WrestleMania, or he's going to lose it later. I don't think he has this short of a title run and loses it on not that big of a stage. So something's got to give with that. So I think Lashley wins.
Yeah, I was leaning towards Finn Balor on this one. I was leaning towards Finn Balor until you gave your point. I think Leo Rush gets involved. Really, he is involved in the match, but I think they really get involved. And Finn Balor, I think he loses. I do think Bobby keeps on the Intercontinental title. He's not having a bad run with it. It's a decent run. And I think this just propels Finn to get into another place. And with Bobby Lashley, and for this storyline to continue, maybe into Mania, we still got Fastlane coming up, so anything can happen there.
Right.
So I think, you know, Bobby Lashley gets the win. I don't see a title change on this pay per view. Well, I see one title change on this pay per view, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But I think Bobby Lashley gets the win here. We got Miz and Shane McMahon taking on the Usos. Welcome to the Uso Penitentiary. Who you got here?
Well, if we're gonna get Shane McMahon versus Miz at WrestleMania, this is where it starts. So, I hate to make that kind of pick that, oh, it's contingent upon, but you know what? Something just feels like. This is hard. It's really hard because of what I just said. As far as if this is contingent, if this is a piece of the puzzle that goes into Miz versus Shane McMahon at WrestleMania, then the Usos would win. But it's something about the momentum of Shane and Miz that, gosh, are they going to really lose on the first side of the fence to the Usos? And then the other side of it is like, man. Do you really job the Usos out to McMahon and Miz? So I'm going to go Usos.
And that's what I'm thinking. That was my thought process. Do you really check? Do you really let the Usos lose to Shane and Miz? How do you get them to lose? Or was it a count out or something like that to say hold if you let Shane and Miz win?
Yeah.
And then do Shane and Miz this little quick title run they have? Is it over? And then they start feuding because Shane blamed Miz or Miz blamed Shane and next thing you know, the paradise is over. And to get to where we want to be at, WrestleMania, or do you wait to Fastlane? You know, those are the questions.
Right.
That come to this
match. Right. Some of these predictions aren't as clear cut to where you can make a prediction because WrestleMania is not the next big event, you really don't know where it's going. So it's almost like you just said, you could go Shane and Miz winning in the sense of them not winning by pinfall or submission. They would have to win by countout or disqualification. Or the Usos win by countout or disqualification. And that could happen. So where the Usos win and not win the belt and then they win them the next month. It could go that route too. So we'll see. But I'm going to pick the Usos just because I don't put enough stock into Shane and Miz being a legitimate team because I think they're going the route of them fighting each other at WrestleMania.
Definitely. I'm going to go with Usos. I think Usos need to go back into WrestleMania as your tag team champions for the sake of SmackDown, the brand as a whole.
Yeah.
I think Usos need to be your tag team champions of the world. Usos. And then let's move on to Ronda Rousey versus Ruby Riott. Raw Women's Championship match.
Okay.
What do you got?
Oh, it's Ronda Rousey. It's I don't even think it's close.
Yeah, it's Ronda Rousey here. I don't see WWE getting her to lose the title to Ruby Riott this close to WrestleMania. It would take too much steam away from that triple threat match that we spent time talking about. That'll be ridiculous. Ronda Rousey wins here, and yeah, Ronda Rousey beats Ruby Riott. It'll be a good match, but Ronda Rousey will come out on top.
Yep.
And then we're going to the Elimination Chamber matches. We got Nia Jax and Tamina versus the Riot Squad, Liv Morgan, Sarah Logan, Mandy Rose, and Sonya Deville. I forgot what they Fire and Ice or something like that they called themselves. Then you got the
Fire and Desire, I think they called them.
Fire and Desire, sorry. Fire and Desire. Then we got the Iconics. And then we got Bayley and Sasha Banks. And then you got Naomi and Carmella involved in the Elimination Chamber match. And the winner of the Elimination Chamber match will become your WWE Women's Tag Team Champion. Who do you have here?
Well, like I think I've alluded this to y'all before, I'm going to go with the Riot Squad. I just think of all the teams that are legit, they're the most legitimate packaged team. Second would be the Iconics, but I don't think you put them on the Iconics right now. I think solidify a first time with the championship, I think Sasha and Bayley are better for the chase. And I think Sasha and Bayley are better for the chase. Naomi and Carmella, they need more time together, but I wouldn't rule them out. Tamina and Nia are good together, but I think they're too obvious to win it. Mandy and Sonya they're also ones that will eventually get it, but I don't see enough steam in them to put them on them right now. But you never know. They're another real dark horse to where you know WWE loves Mandy Rose. You know they do. And you know, from stuff I've been seeing, if Sonya Deville is really about to be on Total Divas, this may be something where they could throw it on them just because they're about to be on Total Divas.
And it goes back to my Brandi Rhodes comment with Sonya Deville. If Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville win, it becomes exclusive to everybody.
Yep.
And that they can have a title, they can win, and it will become one of those type things. I mean, it really, this one right here is really not clear cut as most people wanted it to be, where it would come Sasha. Oh, it's Sasha and Bayley. That's not 100% given.
No, it's not. I think they're better for the chase. I think Nia and Tamina are obvious. I think Sasha and Bayley are obvious. So I don't think you put it on those two because I think those are two teams that will eventually get it. I'm more so of a proponent for if you're going to do a first time, do it with somebody that's credible but may not get it again, you know, or may not ever get it, you know. So, like I say, Nia and Tamina, Bayley and Sasha, they're not getting it. Iconics is just, they're just not there yet to where you're going to. They are, but they aren't. Like, they're not taken seriously enough to where they're going to put it on there with them yet. Naomi and Carmella just don't have enough time with each other yet. They don't. Mandy and Sonya are a dark horse to where they could win it, and absolutely for the reasons you said. But I think the most complete team in this is the Riot Squad, and I think they're going to be the ones that win it. So that is my pick, is the Riot Squad.
You know, until Monday night, I was going to say Nia Jackson, Tamina. But I've been watching wrestling too long, and I know that on a go-home show, people that usually get to shine don't win.
Right.
So it made me want to change. My pick has to be changed. I'm taking on my pick. I'm going with you. Actually, I'm going to go against you. I'm going to say Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville for the reason I asked earlier, just because I don't want to have the same pick. But I really do. My heart of hearts says Riot Squad. So, but I'm going to go ahead and say that SmackDown does need a championship. So Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Then we have the main event of the evening, as I want to call it. Daniel Bryan versus AJ Styles versus Jeff Hardy versus Randy Orton versus Samoa Joe and versus the newly newly inductee or in person put in this match, Kofi Kingston. Who do you have winning here? Knowing that he will come out as the champion, as a WWE champion, and proverbially be on the road to WrestleMania.
You know what? Just for the sake of riding the hype, seriously, and not in the, I don't mean that in a bad way, I'm going to go Kofi Kingston, man. I am. Something just feels different about, you know, this. I know they gave him the shine on SmackDown, and it's kind of like, all right, they featured him, you know, they're not going to do anything else. Something just feels different. Like I said early in the beginning of the show, there's just too much time between now and WrestleMania where even if he got it for just a month or a couple of weeks, I think it can be done. And so I think I'm going to go Kofi Kingston. I think that's where my pick is. I'm going to pick Kofi Kingston.
I'm going to pick Daniel Bryan, but I picked Daniel Bryan to feud with a Kofi Kingston after Elimination Chamber. I think Daniel Bryan gets to win here. You know, I'm looking at it from they just switched the titles. He just got Rowan. This will be the first pay-per-view with him with Rowan in this corner. I see Daniel Bryan squeaking out. He, like I said, go home shows. He just got pinned by Kofi Kingston on this past Tuesday night. Kofi got a lot of the shine. Love to see Kofi become the first African-American WWE champion. A lot of other people out there would too. He is definitely a good candidate. Before we got anybody else in the league, in the WWE, he was a candidate on everybody's board to be the guy. If they were going to give it to somebody, it would have been him. But, you know, hopefully he does win it on this Sunday night. But I'm going to have to go with Daniel Bryan retaining the WWE championship.
Okay. And, yeah, to be honest, before the Kofi thing yesterday or on Tuesday night, my pick was going to be Daniel Bryan. And it wasn't even going to be close. But something about this Kofi thing, I'm gonna take a chance, and I'll take Kofi Kingston.
Got you, man. Got you there. Daniel Bryan's got Kofi Kingston. Hey, Wizard, that's another one wrapped up in the bag. Houston, Texas, this Sunday night, the Elimination Chamber. Let us know what you think. Let us know your picks. Let us know if you agree with us or we have some of the same picks, some of your thoughts about the matches you have. Always make sure you subscribe to us on iTunes. Go ahead and leave a 5-star review. Check us out on Google Play. Check us out on Stitcher as iHeartRadio. You can go ahead and watch us on YouTube. We do a Raw review each and every Monday night. Check us out there. Also, we're reviewing the pay-per-view on this weekend. The Elimination Chamber, check us out there as well. Subscribe, hit the bell notification. As always, Wizard, take us home.
Hey, if you're not confirmed, consider yourself denied.
Good night, ladies and gentlemen. Catch you next week.